Well, this morning we're going to continue our Freedom Friday series with a Vietnam-era veteran. Denny Holtz from Walnut joins us this morning. Denny, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
You betcha. You were an Army guy.
Yes.
And you were drafted.
Yes.
When you got your orders that you were going to be drafted, what was the response from your family? Were they supportive of the efforts?
Oh, we knew it was going to happen. Everybody... The whole family has been military on down the line here. My dad was a prisoner of war in Germany, World War II. I had all uncles in there. And then my brother Dick, he went to Nam after I did. And my stepson Tim, he was a Saudi vet. And my son Clint is an Afghanistan vet. And he's still active with the Guards now. He's active commander down at Waterloo there, at Armory there, and
well, that's quite an active family history.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pride in military service in your family?
Always has been, yes.
Did your dad tell a lot of stories about his experiences?
No. The only thing one time we had a visitor late at night. And Dad said, "I can't believe you're still alive." And we got sent to bed, and we lived in an old house that had the chimney holes. My brother and I laid there and listened. Otherwise, we'd hear him at night. He'd scream his serial number over and over and over and stuff like that a lot of times. But when that guy sat there and then they talked, and we found out some things about it.
Wow.
Where he was in prison camp and how they were treated and... because they talked it back and forth, you know.
Well, that was probably a lot of therapy for them to be able to do that with each other.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't feel like you can talk, you know, you really don't want to talk to family members about things like that.
Right.
Well, how long was he a prisoner of war?
110 days.
Oh, wow. Wow. So, you know, now you know some of these stories and things, and now you're heading off to serve during the Vietnam era. You know, it was kind of a different era, of course, as everyone knows, with their American history. And, you know, some folks didn't necessarily support what was going on and what have you. But, you know, when you're drafted, you're kind of doing what you're told.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah. So what happened after you got drafted? Where'd you do your basic?
I done my basic at Fort Bliss, Texas.
Okay. A good experience?
Yeah, it was... just the Army.
It was what it was, huh?
Yeah.
Did you know anybody when you got there? Was there anybody else from around that you were heading out with?
Well, they put us all on a train out of Council Bluffs, so we met and was on the train together going down there. But other than that, I hadn't met them before, no.
Uh-huh. Did people try to scare you before you got there about how tough basic is?
Oh, not really.
Sometimes you get guys that try to spook a guy before he takes off and heads off to basic training. After basic, what happened then? Where'd you go?
After basic, they give me, they call it advanced individual training at Fort Benning, Georgia. And they trained me on the Little John missile or rocket, which at that time was already obsolete. But they trained me on it anyhow.
What was that like?
Well, it was a high security type deal. Can't tell you a whole lot about it, even though it's obsolete.
Right.
But we had wind sets that went up, and then we'd measure the wind, and then they'd fire these missiles could be fired once, and then the rail had to be cleaned, and then they could go again.
Mm-hmm. When you already kind of had a career started before you were drafted, didn't you?
Yeah. I had completed barber college and started barbering,
mm-hmm.
and then was drafted then.
So did that play into things for you in the service?
Yeah, I did a lot of haircutting over there. it helped me out.
Yeah. What is that what you, in essence, turned into? You were the one of the barber for your unit then, or?
What happened was when I got over there, they had 155s there. I'd never seen a 155 SP before, but that's what they were using there. And they had us in the formation, and the first sergeant said, anybody here know how to type? And I said, yeah, I can do 140 words a minute. Okay. Anybody here know how to cut hair? And I said, well, I was a licensed barber in the state of Iowa. Okay. He said, "Do you know how to play chess?" And I said, "No." He said, "You will." So he took me with him pretty much then.
Well, yeah, so he had a personal assistant kind of then?
Yeah, I was like, they turned me into like company clerks, what they done.
Sure. And what was that work like?
Well, we went with them. You know, ended up you'd have to make your morning reports and all that stuff and keep track of things. But we traveled with them most of the time. We're right up through the, we was in there during the Tet Offensive, 67 and 8, mm-hmm. right up the valley all the way on up through. And seen a lot of action up there.
So you did spend time overseas?
Yes, I spent a year over there.
What was your family's reaction when they found out that you were, when you told them or let them know that you were going to be stationed overseas?
Oh, my dad just went, he was a heavy drinker anyhow, and it just made him worse. He was just the whole time, that's all he thought about.
Well, I suppose after his experience, you know, it's hard to think of anything but the worst.
Yeah, see, he was wounded too when he was in action.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kept in, he was on a death march during there. They called it, he was captured at the Battle of the Bulge. And then from what we heard through the chimney holes was that he was on that march and he was wounded. He shot through the throat and lost a lot of blood. So if they were marching, if they couldn't hold their hands up in the air, the Germans would just shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd lost enough blood, he couldn't. But two guys walked beside him and held his arms up. And then they kept him in boxcars. And he said, I know he was talking to his friend that night, he said, the boxcars, he said, we didn't get to see a whole lot of daylight. And he said that he got infectious hepatitis when he was in there. And he said the lice were so bad in there that it ate the hide right off of their legs.
Hmm. Well, you hear all these stories as a young guy. Are these stories coming back to you when you find out you're going to have to head overseas during wartime?
No, it really didn't bother me, you know, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, it bothered my dad worse than anything.
Yeah.
Him and my mom and them.
Yeah.
It really didn't bother me, you know. That was just part of what you had to do.
Sure. Did you see combat then? Were you spent over there a lot of time?
Oh yeah, yeah. We had some mortars come in several different times, and one of them flew over my head one time. I thought maybe I got hit, but it went over and went the other way. I jumped in a foxhole, so I didn't catch any shrapnel or anything.
Sure. Did you lose any friends, any buddies during that time?
Well, yeah. We lost a couple of them, maybe on the forward observer tracks once in a while. One of them guys get hit pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. So you said, you were telling me before we started the on-air visit here that you spent just a shade under 2 years. You had 22 months of service time there, and you spent about a year or so, you said, overseas. Did you get a chance to come back and finish your time here on the stateside?
No, they reassigned me because I had less than 3 months left. I didn't get a reassignment. I got the early out.
Okay. All right. So you just went straight from overseas duty to being discharged?
Yes.
Very good. Well, obviously you've shared these stories and things with plenty of folks over the years, too, but your family all knows about the experiences and things that you and your family prior to you had, your father and what have you, but you still have all that military service here in the family since then. Why do they keep signing up? Why do they keep going back?
Well, basically, as far as the Army goes, they know good men when they find them, and they kind of go after those.
Yeah.
That was like the youngest now, mine. He got a full ride at UNI through the ROTC program.
Mm-hmm.
And right away he started growing up. First off, he applied online and didn't get no results, so then he wrote him a letter about my dad and me and his brothers and stuff, and bang, just like that, he got a letter back. They took him in for a big physical, and he got they thanked his family for the military service, and he got a full ride at UNI.
Oh, well, good for him. Well, it can pay off. I mean, you can use it for something positive for the rest of your life as well,
yeah.
Even though it might just be a short time.
It stays with you. I mean, you learn. If you don't have discipline, when you're there, you learn it. I didn't have any problems, but one of my, well, my stepson, he was kind of that way where he knew everything, but when he come back, it made a changed person on him.
You bet. Do you still participate in different veterans organizations and activities then?
Yes, I belong to all of them, American Legion and AMVETS and the VFW.
Very good. Well, you must be proud of your service, and you should very, very well be.
Right.
Well, Denny, thanks a lot for your time here today. I appreciate you sharing some stories with us, and we salute you for your service to the country as well. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.